My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Jack Phillips.
Most of the brands that I have led, or if I've had the great privilege or honor, of building or helping, you know, remain relevant, I have not been the target audience. So understanding that right from the get-go, and recognizing that your opinion, whilst it might be interesting, may not be relevant. And relevance is everything. If you're not entertaining and engaging from a cultural standpoint, your brand will not be sustained.
Jack Phillips hasn't met a microphone she didn't like. Commencing her career on radio in New Zealand from the age of 18, the past 25 years has seen Jack thrive as a creative and commercial executive, leading high-performance marketing teams and coaching talent across technology, banking, payments, wealth management, creative, retail industries across New Zealand, Australia, and Asia. Her last gig at Visa Inc. saw her driving strategic partnerships with some of Australia's biggest music and fashion festivals, and she's been credited for ensuring some of the more established brands she has led remain culturally relevant. Jack, welcome to On Brand.
Happy Friday, Nick. Thank you for having me.
If people can't tell already from the bio and your accent, you are in fact talking to us from Melbourne, and I am wishing that as we're recording this, it was Friday. But alas, it's the lame end of that, which is the end of a Thursday, and as I noted, it feels every bit an end of a Thursday. So I will take your Friday vibes.
Take it and own it.
So speaking of vibes, I love that you noted in your bio through the various stops in your career, you talk about brands remaining culturally relevant. I alone just ask my kids. I would take some of that cultural relevance if you're giving it away. But how does one go about doing that? It seems like it's something that many want, but not an easy item to check off the list.
It's a great question, and you're absolutely right. And I think it becomes harder and harder the older one gets, because we are often not the target audience of the brands that we are representing or leading. And that has become very apparent to me. I often refer to myself as Nana Phillips, and I say that tongue-in-cheek. Age is an attitude, not a number. So I don't certainly consider myself elderly. However, I have a 23-year-old and a 25-year-old. And most of the brands that I have led, or if I've had the great privilege or honor, of building or helping, you know, remain relevant, I have not been the target audience. So understanding that right from the get-go, and recognizing that your opinion, whilst it might be interesting, may not be relevant. So if you are not engaging with your target audience, and sadly, they tend to get younger and younger, in my case anyway, it used to be millennials, it's now centennials, and then I think there's another gen something that's, coming behind the centennials, then you aren't going to be able to create some sort of relevance. And relevance is everything. If you're not entertaining and engaging from a cultural standpoint, your brand will not be sustained.
Relevance is everything. You know, I love that you pointed out the age piece of that, because I feel like that's an easy, like I said, it's not an easy thing to check off a list, and a lever we end up pulling is we need to find a person that is of that generation. And again, not to start an intergenerational war on the podcast here, but at the same time, it seems like you hit the nail on the head that we may not. I mean, as we talk about the job that is being a marketer, is being a CMO, you know, it could be sheer coincidence if you end up the target demographic, but that's certainly probably not the case more often than it actually is. So I think thinking about where to find that relevance is something that a lot of us end up probably needing to do.
I think you're spot on. And it starts with self-awareness and recognizing you are not the target audience in your organization, even though you are leading the marketing. And if you can be very conscious of that and recognize that you are no longer, sadly, cool or have your finger on all of the pulses of popular culture, even though you might like to think that you do, because the best education actually comes from experience and immersing yourself in how your target audience and how your consumers are experiencing your brand. And if that is something that is uncomfortable with you, then you might want to review whether you are leading the right brand, because you obviously have to have some passion and some interest in it. And curiosity, you know, is the biggest thing. Every day I would get up and go to work, the last three large organizations I've worked for, and I would think, today is another lesson in anthropology. If I'm not studying who we are engaging or who we are trying to engage, and if I'm not talking to them and asking them what they think, listening to how they describe our brand, watching how they experience our brand, really understanding those that don't like our brand and why they don't like our brand, then I can't possibly bring any new thinking, new ideas. And one of the wonderful things about being a leader in brands today, whether they're a startup brand or whether they're a more established brand, is that most of our staff are target audience. They are younger. So again, their opinion matters.
I love the idea of anthropology, because I think that really gets you in the right mind space to think about the task at hand. So how do you close that gap? How do you get to know these people? Are we, is it studying them online? Is it traditional research, somewhere in between? What works best?
It never stops. It's all of those things and more. I think if I reflect on the experiences I've had, and a good example of more recent times was the most wonderful organization, which you would have heard of. It is a $100 billion brand, and it is one of the world's largest digital payment networks, Visa. When I joined Visa 4.5 years ago, we had started a partnership with Australia's largest music festival, Splendour in the Grass. Splendour in the Grass attracts around 40,000, which is a small number in US standards and certainly in Asian standards. But in Australia, that's a sizable number of young Australians, 18 to 35-year-olds, who come and they spend up to $1,500 over a weekend to experience and stay on camp to watch a music festival. But this music festival is more than music. It's also interesting insights. They also film documentaries from there. It's much bigger than the music, but the music is absolutely the attraction, and music, of course, is an attraction to all people, but particularly young people. So the opportunity for Visa to experiment with a new format or a new medium and new experiences was not lost on the team and I at Visa to become a major partner of a music festival. And what we did was we immersed ourselves in the creativity in the lead up to the first festival that we partnered, and started to understand from the experts who had been running this festival for almost 20 years what works and what doesn't. And the beautiful thing about Splendor in the Grass and the two founders and the team that is behind Splendor in the Grass is they are very discerning about who is let in as a collaborator on their very important and very successful brand. If you are just trying to sell the kids' stuff at Splendor, you won't get in the door. You need to be adding value and ultimately enhancing the festival experience for 18 to 35-year-olds. So what that does, it forces you to think very differently about how your brand shows up and what it should be doing, what it should be saying, your tone of voice, and also what you should be giving, not taking. We're all there for the culture and nurture. And that is what we were told right from the start. And so that reframes a lot of the thinking, and it makes you start to realize 18 to 35-year-olds are a very complex segment. They're a segment of one, of course. None of them are the same, but they share themes. So how does your brand understand them better? By immersing yourself in one of their most favorite pastimes, because, boy, you'll get a lot from that experience.
On Brand, we'll be right back after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Now, back to the show. So I think that's fascinating, what you noted with Visa and Splendor in the Grass. And I think the other side of that that's really interesting is the side, the point of view of Splendor in the Grass as a brand, and coming up with standards of what, you know, who you will partner with. So what kind of criteria might a brand consider from, I guess, both sides of a partnership like that?
Look, it was easy for us. They made it very clear that it had to be creativity and it had to enhance the festival experience. So this was a live festival experience. And so while your customers may know about your brand today through general awareness, their practical experience of your brand is probably shaped by the channel that you deliver it to them. So if you shake up that channel a bit and allow your brand to show up in an unconventional way via a unique channel or property that they're not expecting, you're going to actually help not only enhance your brand, but potentially become relevant to new customers. With Splendor in the Grass and the team there, it had to enhance the festival experience. They were very clear what their purpose was, and that was to put on a music festival that was safe, that was engaging, that was creative, and that absolutely ensured that local music artists, as well as some international artists, got access to the people that they needed most, and that was the consumers 18 to 35 who consumed their music. And it had to be done in a really positive and, I guess, empowering way. So whatever we discussed with the team at Splendor in the Grass had to fit that. On our side, we had quite an easy brief one of the years, and we've been with them now for 4 years, and that was we wanted to ensure that millennials knew, and others either side of that, how to use Visa on their mobile phone. It was about actually bringing mobile phone experience and the payment of the phone to life. This was back before that became very popular. So what we did was made sure that we set up some sort of activation that the consumers could enjoy over the course of the event, but it was done with some real thoughtfulness. So working with that team, we said, hey, these guys are fully consumed by the music. They are going to the music festival and all of the events throughout the festival for many hours at a time, because there are different bands playing throughout the day and night. Sometimes they need a pause. Sometimes they need to be able to walk away, have a little sit down, perhaps have some healthy food, and just chill out for a moment and just take a pause. So we created our own Visa cinema within Splendor in the Grass, and we actually played music videos and music documentaries, but set up these awesome bean bags in this beautiful outdoor cinema, because we're Festival in the Grass. Our Splendor in the Grass is a beautiful, warm, tropical location, Byron Bay, and gave the kids the opportunity to just chill out. But at the same time, in order for them to be able to access the cinema, access the free food we had, they had to use their phone and actually start practicing using Visa on their phone. So it was a lovely way to tie in something they very much needed and would enjoy. And it was highly successful. We had terrific results with our objective, which was just making sure that they were educated on how to use Visa on their mobile.
So talk a little bit more about you know, that not-so-easy box of cultural relevance to check. Mm-hmm. At a not-so-easy organization, not-so-easy in the sense that it's, to your point earlier, a huge organization. Not only is this not something easy to check off of a list, but there's not a a cultural relevance department in most organizations, even big ones. So how does that 'cause the delivery of an experience beyond any promotion, any campaign, any ad, it comes to how the brand is delivered day in, day out. How do you connect those dots?
Yeah, it's a good one. It starts with leadership, and it starts with the ability to use insights and, I guess, to some extent, use facts as your friend, not opinion. One of the great things about working in a large brand like Visa is that we have many, many stakeholders. We have many, many merchants, and also some very big, you know, banks that we obviously partner with. One of the things that they all shared is this keen desire and interest to be relevant and to be culturally relevant and to partner with brands that have that. So talking to our clients, the large banks, talking to some key merchants, and certainly talking to our very, very senior leadership team across the region and into the US, they could see very quickly that this collaboration and partnership would make sense not only for us at Visa, but also for all of the other stakeholders that we needed to collaborate and partner with. So what we were doing, in effect, was actually sharing our knowledge and our insights and our experiences with those stakeholders, so they too could benefit from the anthropology that we were involved with.
Well, that's I talk a lot about kind of the circles of community, and I love the angle of, you know, we it seems like the two buckets we think about most often are our customers, our employees, but those kind of in-between partners that you might be able to do something with, in a lot of cases, is a real untapped gold mine to that point of finding some shared wins.
Absolutely. Now, it's bold trying something different, and particularly it can be risky when you're talking about a festival, particularly a music festival, with lots of experiential marketing that is physical. And boy, aren't we craving for that right now after a few years of all being virtual. The risk with it is high. But again, you choose carefully. You have very meaningful and, I think, deep conversations with the organisers. You understand the collaboration benefits across all stakeholders. When we were talking to the organisers of Splendour in the Grass, and we made it clear that we have issuers that we partner with, big banks that often aren't very relevant to millennials and to Gen Z. Many Gen Zers, I don't think my children have ever walked into a branch of a bank, yet these were some of our biggest clients at Visa. So it was really important that Splendour in the Grass recognised they came with us. And Splendour in the Grass initially said, we're not sure about a bank brand being part of the Visa collaboration here, unless they too enhancing the festival experience. So we worked very closely with our issuers, with Splendour in the Grass, to ensure that what we were doing was going to benefit ultimately the festival goer, as well as achieve our own objectives. But we would very much play within the guidelines of the creativity that was required. And we delivered on that, and we've delivered on that now for 4 years. So it has been successful. And you're right, Nick, it's about the community and that broader community of stakeholders.
Well, it seems like, as you note, there'd be skepticism on both sides. My kids also are confused when they get a paper check from grandparents and how do I transform that into money? I can't get them into the bank. Now, on the other side of that, banks, FIs are by nature risk averse, and something like this could seem like it comes with a lot of risk. So how do you overcome some of the obstacles needed in doing something new and different that's going to get you to that cultural relevance? But there's some hurdles there.
Yeah. So again, as I said before, both Visa and our issuers shared a common, curiosity for how do we better engage with younger audiences? How do we remain culturally relevant? And the best way to do that is to immerse yourself in their worlds. Talk to them, you know, be there, watch, learn from those that are already doing it, e.g. the Splendour in the Grass team that had been running this festival very successfully for almost 20 years. And I think combining those areas of interest, the curiosity, and then recognizing that we could gather insights, we could gather so much intelligence from being part of this. We could then use that intelligence to help inform us on what we do going forward, what we do well and truly outside of marketing, what we do from a product perspective, what we do from a communications tone of voice, different channel marketing perspective. We gained huge amounts of richness from the experience in both the lead up, the preparation, the execution, and then the reviewing of the results and all of the insights and the things that we had found. So when it becomes much broader and bigger than actually just a one-off partnership and a one-off festival execution experience, you've then got a really rich property that probably spans almost a year's worth of work.
You know, I could immerse myself in this conversation for hours. Alas, it is time, Jack, for me to ask you for a brand that has made you smile recently.
I love this question. This is a great question. There are actually two. I'm going to start with a new brand called Juice Lab, which is an Australian new generation of plant-based wellness products that has a lot of fun. It has a lot of fun with its creativity and how it looks, but more importantly, it has a real purpose. So it has a commitment to using only all natural plant-based ingredients. And I'm sure the US is similar to Australia at the moment. Plant-based diets are becoming such a thing.
Yeah.
The functional benefits to, you know, consumers around plant-based is really very special. But what Juice Lab are doing is they're taking a science-based approach. And unlike a lot of new age wellness brands that are being a bit seduced by fads, Juice Lab is actually holding true to what the science says. And again, if you are targeting audiences that care about their health and their well-being, they will expect you to have knowledge on that, and they will expect you to show up with the science, but also be culturally relevant, have some fun with it. So Juice Lab is one of my favorite at the moment. But there is a second, and this brand is a person. I'm not sure if you're a tennis fan or not, Nick, but we've just had the Australian Open here in Melbourne, Australia. And Ashley Barty is a 25-year-old Indigenous Australian who has just become the world number one women's singles player. And she's become Australia's first Australian Open champion in 44 years. So traditionally, well, the last certainly 44 years, it's always been an international person who has won the Australian Open. This year it was a 25-year-old Indigenous Australian. What makes Ash Barty different? Not that only is she this awesome, awesome tennis player, she is the most humble, the most vulnerable and amazing brand for Australia, and everybody is so very proud of her. And I think her father sums it up beautifully. He said in an interview just after she'd won the Australian Open, he said, yeah, we're really proud that she's played so well, but we actually don't measure her on that. We measure her on how she behaves. And I just thought, boy, what a brand to be proud of, Ash Barty. But this is deeper than just her winning and her achievement. The success is actually in who she is, the sort of person she is, and what a great role model for young people coming through. So she's made me smile a lot.
That's great. What a neat story. And as a parent too, that's what you certainly hope for in the end as well. Jack, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Thank you, Nick. JackPhillips.com. So that's pretty simple, isn't it? J-A-C, Phillips with two L's, .com. I've just finished a 25-year corporate career leading marketing. Unlocking the potential of brands and people is what I get huge joy and meaning from. And so I now have a portfolio career. So I'm an executive and leadership coach to a range of different rock stars, as I call them, wonderful young and also senior leaders coming through, as well as I've just got my first listed board in Australia, and I also do marketing advisory. So you can find me at jackphillips.com.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you spelled that out, because I was about to do the same thing as well for those listening. But regardless, we'll link up to that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Jack, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thanks, Nick.
And if you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.